All right, but let's get right into our passage today. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to James chapter 3. You know, we've been really talking a lot about a lot of things over the last 3 weeks. James has really been kind of focusing in on what we should be focusing on, and that comes out of James chapter 1, where verses 26 and 27, he was talking about what true spirituality is, and it's getting your mouth under control, and also being there for those who are in need and keeping yourself unspotted. And so when we went through chapter 2, he talked a lot about being there for others and about how our faith is expressed and being there for others. And then when we got to the first part of chapter 3, which was last week's message, we talked about getting our mouth under control. And he talked about how your mouth and what you say can be like a small fire and burn down a whole forest. And we understand that, right? Can't take back your words when you say them. Now, as you've been going along with me over these last few weeks, you probably have been thinking, okay, I understand what he's saying, I understand. How do we change? So even like, let's just talk for a moment. Talking about the mouth, our speech, what we say, and I would say even how we communicate, whether it's like posting something or whatever. How do we get it under control, George? Understand James is telling me, don't do it, okay? Have you ever had people tell you, don't do it? But they didn't tell you, maybe told you why, but they didn't tell you what to do instead. They didn't give you another option or tell you how to keep from doing it. The wonderful thing about God's word is it tells you. It tells you what you and I need to do. But you're saying, well, George, he just said it's uncontrollable. My mouth is uncontrollable. How do we get control? And if I get control, he says, I'm a perfect man. Well, he's going to tell you right now here in the last part of chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, he's going to tell us what we can do to get it under control. And that's what we're going to look at today, okay? Because when we talk about our speech or even our actions or our lack of helping of others or whatever, it's all a reflection of, let's just be honest with you, it's all a reflection of our hearts. Your heart. And I'm not talking about the cardiopulmonary muscle that's beating in there keeping the blood flowing through your body. I'm talking about the essence of who you are. In the Jewish mind, the heart represented all of who you were as a person. And the reality is that your actions and your words are guided a lot, mostly by who you are. Well, that's scary, right? Yeah. So let's talk about the heart for a moment. Okay, a couple things I want to point out here. First of all, your speech reflects the true condition of your heart. You want to really know what you're like? Record yourself during the day. Just record yourself and be shocked at what comes out of your mouth. And then be shocked by, okay, it came out of my mouth, but why did it come out of my mouth? Because it's you. Listen, here's two verses. Jesus says the same thing, two different times, two different passages. Here's the first one, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Here he's talking to the Pharisees and the religious teachers of the day. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of who you are, your mouth speaks. Look with me at Luke chapter 6 now, verse 45. Again, same passage, Luke chapter 6. A good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and an evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So that's why your heart's important. So if you feel like you don't have control of your mouth, it's really reflecting something deeper. not just that you have loose lips and say it like it is. It's really talking about who you are as a person. So here's the next thing I want you to say. To take control of your speech and actions, you must cultivate your thinking. That brings us to verse 13 through 18. So I want you to take a look at, with me at what he's saying here, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false in the truth, to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above, but is earthy, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So I want you to think, going back to that last point I was making, the way you get control is you got to control your thinking. Well, that's a whole lot easier said than done, George. Yeah, it is. But you're in control. What you think on and what you dwell on ultimately results in actions and words that come out of your mouth. So if you're feeding yourself garbage through whatever means, then garbage in, garbage out, right? But if you're feeding yourself what's right, then what's going to come out of it is going to be a whole lot different than whatever the garbage is that you're putting in. It's going to change you. And so what we're going to do the rest of our time this morning is we're going to start with verse 13 again. We're going to kind of look and see what true wisdom is. What is it that's going to help me to change? Because I'll be honest with you. I've been a believer now 40 years. I've been a pastor over 30. And the reality is we live, I cannot remember a time, any time in my almost 60 years of existence, living in a time as we're living in right now in our society today. And I am just overly struck by how vicious and mean people have become. Have you not found that to be true? It's just like, where did that come from? How people like are overreacting to everything. And you see it on the news, road rage and things like that, and people being killed needlessly, and just the way people are treating people who are just doing their job. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, where did all this anger and vomit come from? And the reality is, it's because of what we're feeding ourselves. You know, so there is a good side to social media, great, but can I be honest with you, there's a whole negative side to social media. And the algorithms now that just feed you continually junk upon junk and junk because it figures out what you like. And so when you look at your news feed, you're seeing the stuff that you like. And problem is you keep clicking on stuff that is negative, and it's feeding you negativity. It's just going to keep sending you the negativity. So I remember when social media first, everybody's watching cat videos, right? It's not feeding you cat videos anymore, is it? It's not. It's actually something negative, right? I thought it was interesting, a little experiment, I mean, something that one of the social media companies did was to let you know where exactly is the information that you're getting that's promoting whatever it is that you're believing, where is it actually coming from? And it found that some of us who are leaning in conservative thinking and so forth, the stuff that we're reading wasn't even coming from in the U.S. It's coming from Romania and different countries around the world, and it's getting us all fired up, and it's not even from here. But it affects our what? Thinking. And we wonder why people are angry. Why are they saying what they're saying? But again, like I said to you before, I really can't address what society does in a world of unbelievers. I can only tell you what James says to you and I as believers, right? And James is more concerned about you and you and your actions and your words and how to change it in a direction that's good. So let's talk a little